It's very easy to continue, but too easy, in fact, so I won't go on with some other examples I was going to go into. But that all of this, you know, cite examples at length, it's hard to find an exception. It does leave open a crucial question. How does the great beast react? That is the domestic U.S. counterpart of the second superpower. Well, there's a conventional answer. That is that the population approves of all of this, as was just shown again by the election of George Bush, leading to, what is it, 150,000 people trying to come north. But they're misunderstanding what happened. And as is often the case, a closer look is helpful. So let's take a slightly closer look. The winning candidate last November, early this month, received about 31% of the eligible vote, the loser 29%. The results were very close to what they had been in the year 2000, the same, virtually the same red and blue states, as they're called. A few percentage shift in the vote, which is almost a random event, would have meant that Kerry had won, also telling us nothing about the country and the electorate. The reason is that issues of substance were very consciously kept out of the campaign. You have to remember that political campaigns are designed by the same industries that sell toothpaste and cars and so on. It's not an exaggeration. They're run by the public relations industry. What is their professional concern and their regular vocation? Well, it's not to provide information. Their goal, rather, is deceit. And that's not a secret. Every time you turn on the tube, you see it. Hundreds of billions of dollars a year are spent in what's called advertising, which does not, say, list the properties of next year's cars, as would happen in an unimaginable market society based on what you study in economics courses, informed consumer choice. That's a total myth. Rather, let's take a look at the advertising. It tells you why. The point is not to present information. It's to deceive you. That's why the car, they don't, like GM doesn't tell you, here's what I'm going to produce next year. It takes, you know, 1 minute, and no money. What it does is show the car with a, you know, sexy model in it or a sports hero or, you know, doing some ridiculous thing like climbing up a sheer cliff or something like that. And it's some, what it, the point is, and it's true of the whole hundreds of billions of dollars, is to project some kind of an image that might deceive the consumer into buying this car instead of the virtually identical one produced by a competitor. That's the prime commitment of the public relations industry and a way of, one of the many ways of undermining the mythology about markets, which nobody believes in unless you can force them on someone else. And the same is true with elections, which are run by the PR industry. The goal is to project images and to deceive the public into accepting them while sidelining issues for very good reasons, to which I'll come back. And the population knows it. You know, they're not stupid. About 10% of voters say their choice is based on the candidates, reading the polling question, on the candidates' agendas, ideas, platforms, and goals. That's 6% of Kerry voters and 13% of Bush voters, otherwise essentially nobody. The rest rely on what the industry calls qualities and values. So does the candidate project the image of a strong leader, you know, kind of guy you'd like to meet in a bar, or somebody who cares about you and is just like you? My guess, I have no evidence, but I'm just guessing, is that Bush is very carefully trained to say things like nuclear and misunderestimate and all the other silliness that intellectuals like to ridicule. That's probably about as real as the ranch that was constructed for him and the rest of the whole folksy manner. After all, it would hardly do to present him as a spoiled frat boy from Yale who became rich and powerful because of his rich and powerful connections and family. Rather, the imagery projected has to be a guy just like us, you know, not one of these fancy types. a guy who'll protect us, who cares about us, who shares about our moral values. That's the imagery, which is about as real as in toothpaste ads. Not surprisingly, it's done by the same people. Bush, in that case, the point is to undermine markets. In this case, the point is to undermine democracy. That's the same principle. Bush, if you look, received a large majority among voters who said that they were concerned primarily with moral values and terrorism. Now, as for Bush's moral values, there's an easy way to find out what they are. Read the business press the day after the election. It describes what it called the euphoria in corporate boardrooms and so on. That's not because CEOs are opposed to gay marriage. Actually, most of them are what are called liberals. I mean, their social values are about the same as, you know, Canadian Dimension, probably. If you want to learn more about their moral value, the Bush moral values, just observe the principle, basic principle, which is not concealed. The principle is that costs are to be transferred to your children and your grandchildren. Now, that's environmental costs, fiscal costs, and the rest. It's not concealed. And those are indeed the moral values. The point of the PR industry is to prevent you from seeing anything as obvious as that.